The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The world of talkback radio, there are some staples. Vegemite is a standard. We always talk about Vegemite. We talk about their ads. We talk about their product placements. We talk about the variations they have. And today, there's absolute outrage.
Well, and there should be tensions between our nation and the motherland right now. We've been talking about tensions between us and other nations, particularly Indonesia this morning. Have a look at what's going on the supermarket shelves over in Britain, where in the UK, Sainsbury's, which is one of the largest and biggest grocery chains across the UK, have actually stripped Vegemite from its shelves, saying what? That Britons have lost their appetite. I think it's time to recall the ambassador, isn't
it?
No,
I've got, this is the way out. This is the way out. Can you see the Prime Minister holding a doorstop this afternoon? As a result of this action by this British supermarket chain, I have withdrawn the knighthood to Prince Philip as a retaliation. That gets
perfect.
Him out of
that
it.
It's perfect, isn't it? Tony Abbott, we've given you your moment. Seize it.
Well, he's going to have to do something. Next Monday, he's got a big speech. And we've speculated this morning whether there was any way that he could say, look, I got this wrong. I've spoken to Buckingham Palace. This knighthood is now being returned. They've graciously agreed not to do it. It was a personal thing of mine, but I realise I'm out of step with the Australian populace. I've listened. You always hear that. You say, I've listened. I've heard what you've said. Think there's any possibility he'll say that?
No, because he's already had two opportunities to say exactly that over the past week, and he's backed away each time, hasn't he?
There's no doubt there is talk within some sections of the Liberal Party about what they're going to do now. They are looking at the possibility of Julie Bishop or Malcolm Turnbull. It would be interesting to know what contact those two have had, whether there's been any informal discussion, even from people close to them, about whether there might be some agreement reached between them in some informal way. The man who's right across this has seen plenty of this stuff over the years on both sides of politics is Graham Richardson. He's written today in the Australian newspaper that this speech on Monday could be critical to his long-term future. You can see Richo, of course, on Sky News, and he's with us this morning. Graham Richardson, good morning.
Good morning.
Graham, thanks for joining us. Why is this big press club speech so important for the PM?
Well, I think if he continues down the path he's on, he's doomed. And he's had plenty of chances, as Gary was just saying, to get off this tram, but he stays on it. And if he doesn't get off it on Monday, I think he's in all sorts of strife. Now, I don't believe he's going to recall the decision. But what he's got to do is admit the decision was wrong. So I note this week he says he notes all the criticism, he's listening, but he also said, I stand by the decision. It was right. And that's the problem. He thinks it is. He actually believes in that decision. Mm. And that puts him out of step with 99% of the country. I think that's sad. But if he can't get up and acknowledge error, and he seems to be pathologically incapable of doing that, then he's in all sorts of strife. It all goes back to the budget. He's not in trouble because of the Prince Philip decision. He's in trouble because there was an unfair budget that broke a lot of promises. And he's never gotten over that. Part of the reason he's never gotten over that is, A, he wouldn't admit he'd broken promises. That had to be dragged out of him kicking and screaming. And secondly, he just won't acknowledge that it was inequitable. Most of the burden fell on families on 60,000 to 90,000 a year. If you're on half a million a year, you didn't feel it. And that's the problem. You know, he's never acknowledged that. Now, the trouble is, as I always say in politics, the mob will always work you out. And they worked out that budget in 5 minutes. He's never acknowledged he got it wrong. If he stood up on Monday and said, listen, I did put too much of the burden on low-income families, But don't worry, I'm whacking the high-income earners. I'm looking at super. I'm looking at other things. I'm going to make sure that when we come out with a May budget that's fair for everyone, we're all going to suffer, but you'll suffer equally. He does that and then says, and by the way, on principle, I realise I got that wrong. Nothing like that will ever happen again. Then I think he's got a chance to rebuild, but he won't do it, I'll bet.
They're getting very nervous, obviously, on the Liberal backbenches at the moment, and there's talk that, some of them are considering switching leaders. How likely do you think that would be?
Pretty unlikely. They don't do it much in government, as I said in the piece in The Australian today. You've got to go back to McMahon toppling Gorton, and that didn't work too well. They do it in opposition, but they don't do it too often in government. I think they'd be reluctant to, and by the way, Bishop and Morrison, because I think I wrote in there today, I think I've got more votes in the Liberal caucus than Turnbull. I think that the likelihood is that they're pretty loyal people, that they wouldn't do it anyway.
Yeah. What about what's happened in this week and how that coalition cheer squad, a lot of the right-wing columnists around the country, Rupert Murdoch himself, have actually turned on Peter Credlin?
Well, see, I think it's all a bit unfair, but, I mean, she will go because something has to go. You know, I think Abbott's got to show that he's heard something, and so she'll be the sacrificial lamb at some stage. The trouble with that is that when you're a minister or a prime minister, you know, you have staff, but the decision's yours. It's your responsibility. It doesn't matter what advice you get, and it would appear the only two people he asked were Peter Cosgrove, and he'd just given a knighthood, and Angus Houston, he was about to give. I can't imagine them saying this is a shocker of an idea. So apparently he says he didn't even ask Credlin. But she'll go because you'll have to make that sort of, if you like, public offering. The trouble is, you know, he can't do it straight after Rupert's told him he has to. So there'll have to be some sort of decent interval.
Let's say you get a phone call tomorrow morning and it's the Prime Minister on the line and he wants you to help draft his speech for Monday's big announcement. What else would you put in that speech?
Well, actually, I drafted that speech and wrote it in The Australian 3 weeks ago. And he said publicly that he'd read it and that he'd be expressing some similar sentiments. It's basically what I said to you before. He's got to acknowledge error and not in some half-hearted way. He's got to acknowledge that he broke promises. Again, not with weasel words, but directly. He's got to address the Australian people and say, listen, I've got a few things wrong, I understand that, but I was always right about the basic problem. We do have a budget crisis. We do have a huge problem. It's not my fault. You can blame Rudd and Gillard for that, but it's my job to fix it. Now, I haven't done too well so far, but as of May, when we come down with a new budget, I'm going to get you all on side. Between now and then, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to consult. I'm going to make sure that I take Australia with me. Now, if he does that, he's a chance.
Yep.
If he doesn't, by the way, then I think we might see the first one-term government in the best part of a century.
It's interesting you say that because if someone asked you what Bill Shorten plans to do, what his ideas are, what changes he'd make, I can't think of anything at the moment.
No, there aren't too many. But that doesn't matter. If I was Bill, I'd be going on a very long cruise.
Say nothing.
Say nothing. Just go away.
Okay.
Tony's doing such a good job at himself, he doesn't need any help.
Come back in 6 months. Richo, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Okay, pleasure.
Graham Richardson, you read him in the Australian newspaper. You see him on his Sky News show. Always very good analysis. And, gee, Tony Abbott should listen to what he had to say. That's what he should do. Because in the end, we've all got a stake in the country being run properly. The government being run properly, haven't we?
How hard is it to say sorry and then move on? People respect you.
A government's a circus, and the opposition, well, they've said nothing. Nothing.
And what does that tell you?
You can't wheel out a few lines out of, you know, AC/DC songs.